Welcome to our thought for the day. As we continue our series looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, we come to verses 13 to 16. Jesus is addressing his disciples, and this is what he says. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. They may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let's come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to spend a few moments reflecting upon your word. We pray that you would speak to us from your word, that you would challenge us and inform us and equip us. We may live our lives in a way that pleases you and for your honour and glory. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. As we reflect on those few verses that I've just read, we're perhaps aware immediately that the world often will describe someone as being the salt of the earth without perhaps recognising that it actually comes from the Sermon on the Mount, the words of the Lord Jesus. I guess when people use that phrase in day-to-day language, it's often in the context of speaking about someone who's reliable, dependable, always willing to help. They're the salt of the earth. Jesus uses it to speak of those who are his followers, those who've committed themselves to Christ, to his teaching, to being obedient to him, whatever that entails. When Jesus first made this statement to his disciples, it must have seemed quite incredible. There they were, a rather motley group of fishermen and tax collectors and the like, a group that would be regarded as a sect by society, a group that were an anathema to the religious leaders of the day. A group that in the eyes of the Roman authorities were simply troublemakers. And yet Jesus says to them, you are the salt of the earth. Like their Lord, there was nothing attractive in their appearance. Like their Lord, they would too be despised and rejected. And yet Jesus says to them and to us today, as 21st century disciples, if we know and love him, that we are the salt of the earth. So we need to ask ourselves, what are the particular qualities of salt? And two probably come immediately to mind. One is the concept of flavouring, and the other is the concept of preservative. And certainly for the disciples in the first century, this idea of preservative would have been very familiar. The idea of rubbing salt into the meat, acting as an antiseptic, a hindrance to decay. And that thought lies behind the role of the Christian as a preservative in society. We're called to act as those who would seek to preserve some degree of knowledge of God, some awareness of sin, some understanding of God's commands. Perhaps we express an opinion or write a letter concerning maybe the issue of abortion or particular programs on television or Sunday trading, or something else that deeply concerns us because we see it as contrary to what the Bible teaches, what Christ commands. Salt acts silently, but we see its effect. And in a preservative role as the salt of the earth, Christians often act silently. Though we may on occasions express an opinion or write a letter, we also make these topics of concern a matter of prayer, something unseen and usually unheard by the wider world, but something that we know in the purposes of God is tremendously effective. So God calls his disciples, his followers, to be the salt of the earth, to be preserving some knowledge of him, even in the midst of a society which is sadly sometimes very wicked, very evil. But then the Lord Jesus makes a second statement. Not only he says, is the Christian a salt of the earth, a preservative role, but also the Christian is as the light of the world, what we might describe as a proclamation role. It's interesting, in fact, humbling, that Jesus uses this description of his church. You are the light of the world. For he will say of himself, the Lord Jesus, I am the light of the world. And what he says of himself, in a secondary, derived sense, is also true for the Christian believer. Jesus anticipates that we who have received in God's grace the light of the gospel shining into the darkness of our hearts will in turn seek to transmit that light to others. We will be clear in expressing our faith, in sharing the joy that comes with knowing Jesus, and speaking of the forgiveness we've experienced in Christ, and the peace and the purpose and the hope that the follower of the Lord Jesus alone can experience. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We're called to be preservative, and we're called to be proclaiming. As we do these roles, Jesus also gives a word of challenge to us. As salt, we're not to lose our saltiness. As light, we're not to hide that under a bowl or a blanket. We're to be following his commands and doing his will, and praying that in his strength we may make an impact for good in the world in which we live. May God bless you. Thank you for listening.